Mad Radio. Ask John McClain anything. 713-572-4610. Whatever you want. John, let me begin here. If they legalize sports gambling in Texas, where would you put a casino?
You talking about here?
Yeah. In the state, here, wherever.
I would put it out by the horse track because they have plenty of room, and it's good access in and out. It's not centrally located, but I think it would be harder. Otherwise, downtown, another county, I think, would try to get one on the premises by the stadium, which would be more centrally located. So would a casino downtown. But you got to have – you need a lot of parking since we're – we're a city that everybody likes to drive their car and park.
And I feel one thing that needs to be pointed out more here that that isn't, that I don't quite understand, is that the act that the Supreme Court struck down was signed in the early 90s. It's not like there's been federal legislation prohibiting states from making their own decisions about gambling forever, and that now this is going to open up the floodgates. It's still very much a state-by-state situation, and I think there's still going to be a lot of states that don't want to add gambling to the mix.
Lopez and I disagree on this. I think, as I chronicled, had two great stories yesterday with lawmakers. It's going to be a long time before our legislature, which is controlled by conservative Republicans, is going to allow gambling on sports in Texas.
But here's the thing about states in general. You know what states need, especially now? They need money.
Yeah.
These cities, the municipalities, the states, they need money.
And public sentiment towards gambling has changed a lot in the last 20 years. And it started with Indian casinos and then riverboat gambling and then whatnot. And I think people are starting to get more of a tolerance for it.
Think of all the money our legislature is allowed to go to Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arkansas. They know they could get money now for schools and everything you need.
How much
police, fire, but they don't do it.
We've been talking about Fertitta and how he's not allowed to take action on Louisiana or take action on the Rockets in his casino. How much does Fertitta lose out if all of a sudden there's casinos in Houston?
I feel like
what percentage of people in his casino?
The lobbyists in Louisiana and those other states, which is so strong,
I feel like
they would lobby like crazy. Excuse me, Mike, but it would do incredible harm to them if people could just go gamble right here if there was a casino,
I feel like,
say, by the stadium.
I feel like Tillman could like buy some sort of airplane and just take the casino in Lake Charles and just transport it a little bit across state lines.
He would open a casino here as soon as casino gambling is allowed here, and it should be. And
right down my neck of the woods, Kima, that would be perfect.
You know, Tillman would be all over that.
Yeah. John, my son's pony team beat the number one seed in the playoffs last night.
Congratulations.
Their star player was heckling our pitcher, my son. Should he peg him in the back?
Let him play a little chin music.
How much of the what kind of heckling now? Is it like some swing batter stuff, or was it like your mom's a whore? Like how extreme are we talking about here?
Probably should talk to the kid's parents.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Or his manager.
What city should I fly into if I wanted to go to Texans training camp in West Virginia?
I fly into Charleston. If you look on the mileage, you think, oh, that's not a bad. It's not a long drive at all, but because of the terrain, it takes a lot longer than I thought. I remember Mark Vandermeer last year told me how long it took him to drive it, and I didn't believe it. And then our photographer and I, Brett Coomer, we flew to Charleston, rented a car, and drove down, but it's by far the easiest way. Now, you can fly into the White Sulphur Springs, but you have to change planes somewhere.
Yes, here's my answer to that. Not Charlotte. Let's go
not Charlotte.
Scott on Mad Radio. Scott, good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. John, God forbid we have another situation this year, but let's say the Texans go to a number two quarterback for a few games. What is their plan? And can, you know, I don't know that I don't want another year like last year. And number two, I noticed that I follow you on Twitter, and I noticed that on your Twitter feed, you seem to, your political leanings are glaring. And I'm wondering if that is, if that's on purpose. Thanks.
All right. Interesting questions there.
And, first of all, my Brandon Whedon, last time he played, he threw three touchdown passes. He ran for one. His rating was 107. and he helped him win two games, but he hadn't played since then at the end of the 2015 season. So unless somebody better comes along, Brandon, who knows the system, worked with Watson for about 5 months last year before he got cut in the last roster reduction, he's the guy. And as far as my political leanings, I retweet a lot of stories. I've cut back on it because I was retweeting so much anti-Trump stuff. But when I vote, like my wife is Democrat from way back, I vote for the person I think is best, and I don't care if he's Democrat, Republican, or independent.
I always vote. I'm actually curious because I've had a discussion with a couple of our listeners who seem to think they know what my political leanings are, which is absurd. And it's this. How late are you to the political party? Because I don't know if I've ever said anything about Trump that like George W. Bush hasn't also said about Trump. And yet somehow when I'll say those things, people can tell exactly where I lean politically or what I am. I don't understand or get that.
I think you should take it as a compliment.
Okay.
Because people feel like when they listen to people they like or they hate or whatever, that they feel like they know them.
Yeah.
And so when they start saying things about whatever topic, could be sports, could be politics, life,
yeah,
they start ascribing more meaning to it because they feel like they really know that person pretty well.
But it annoys me that there are so many people now, and I feel like this is backed up, that can take your position on one issue and think they have you pegged politically.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll tell you honestly, like, I think a lot of people would be shocked at my voting record in both directions. And I feel like I've got some political leanings that are extremely conservative. I've got some that are extremely liberal. And it bothers me that, like, any one of those is, like, a single ticket item that's going to get me labeled as, like, you're a commie or you're a neoconservative or whatever. It bothers me.
John, who is your favorite coworker of all time?
Coworker, let's see. I've been doing this for 46 years, counting my 3 years the Waco Tribune Herald. So I will say one of our copy editors, Lester Zed, and I, who worked with together in Waco, and we worked at the Chronicle for years, and we spent a lot of time together going back and forth to Baylor games. So I would say Lester Zed.
All right, Lester Zed. John, in honor of some of the questions that I keep asking random guests like Bill Nye the Science Guy, what book are you reading right now?
I am reading the last paperback I got on James Rollins. I love reading his books, and I'm reading the last one that Brad Thor did.
You love this Brad Thor guy.
I love Brad Thor, who is from Conroe, went to UT.
Okay.
And I think Brad lives in Nashville, but Scott Harvath, I wish there were really the Scott Harvaths who would get out in the world and do the things they do in the books, which of course I'm guessing are all fantasy because our government wouldn't allow it.
John, this listener is going to Topless Jeep Fest this weekend. I think that's a play on words, right? Because you're just
that means a Jeep's with a top down.
I would have guessed that's what it is. Maybe it's both forms of topless. I don't know. Should I drink beer or liquor on the beach? That seems like a silly question.
I can't imagine drinking liquor on the beach.
Oh, he's asking beer or liquor. Okay,
I would drink beer unless you know the liquor was. I guess I could see margaritas or something with an umbrella in it, but to me, I've always thought the beach was for beer.
The beach is for beer until it's time to go to the bathroom. And then you find yourself in it like, oh, I gotta wade out into the water.
Then you go in the water.
Yeah, I know, but like sometimes it's inconvenient to just go out into the water every time you've had 11 or 12 beers. I'd say stick to liquor, my friend.
I do associate, like you, John, beer with the beach. I agree with you on that.
Because it's so hot.
HEB Brandon asks, John, would you like to see LeBron in Houston next year, or are you against it like Paul Gallant is?
No, I would love to see LeBron here because I don't think they're going to beat Golden State. Warriors just too good, and I think people would get really fired up like they did with when they traded for James Harden and Chris Paul. And I hope the Rockets win. I hope they don't get swept, but I think it would be so not just exciting but intriguing to watch them adjust to LeBron.
Oh. John, I have a question. Mike, did you already ask this question about flying into training camp?
Yes.
What the hell?
No, that's okay. But what I told him was, don't fly into Charlotte
like we did. That's right, yeah.
Don't fly into Charlotte.
That drive last year to go down for the game and back the next day, and it is a long, beautiful drive. All the drives up there are beautiful because of the mountains.
It's great.
John, why did KJ Malone retire after minicamp?
I think he had a bad knee. He came in, he was hurt most of his career at LSU. He was being moved inside to guard. He came for 2 days, retired, getting out in the real world. More power to him. Good luck to him.
Is he a fraud?
Fraud.
I'm just kidding. John, what is
what, did
the...
he take out like a $3,000 signing bonus?
John, what is...
He stole it from Mr. McNair.
What is the most interesting thing for NFL fans about Dave Tepper spending $2.2 billion in cash to buy the Carolina Panthers?
I think it's always interesting to see how a new owner is going to operate. I was reading a story this morning. Tepper has been very outspoken against Donald Trump going back to the campaign. I would imagine he's going to put a lid on it now. But what things that he said are out there, and the fact that he paid cash. I heard a thing that in 2012, I believe, he got a check for $2.1 billion for his hedge fund. Next year, he got $1.6 or $7. It's amazing how much money he made when he started his own company after he left Goldman Sachs. He's been a minor partner, 5% stake in the Steelers since 2009. You can't tell anything about somebody's a minor partner. Like Jimmy Haslam was a minor partner with the Steelers, but I'll guarantee you, because of what happened with Haslam, they didn't vet him from the time they did when he bought into the Steelers, but they didn't when he bought the Browns, and they missed that whole scandal with his company.
Like they,
Pilot
all they
Flying
had to do,
J.
And it would have shown up really quick. He was under investigation by the FBI at the time, was he not? It wouldn't have taken a whole lot of digging to figure it out.
So I'll guarantee you, because I heard Goodell hit the ceiling on that one.
Oh yeah,
that even though Tepper was a minor partner of the Steelers, he's still vetted very, very closely.
John, I'm looking at this Bolivar topless Jeep weekend. This looks crazy. It's like Jeeps as far as the eye can see lined up down the beach there.
That looks fun.
Our super listener Jackie Goss owns an RV park down there in Bolivar. I bet this is a big weekend for him.
I would assume that's the case. Matt Takes coming up at 8:40. We have another Mike Meltzer hype pump up for game 2.